Can you guys hear me okay? All right, good. I was reading a post of a guy the other day, and he said, we're 10 days into this self-isolation. It's really upsetting me to witness my wife standing at the living room window, gazing aimlessly into space with tears running down her cheeks. It breaks my heart to see her like this. I've thought very hard about how I can cheer her up. I've even considered letting her in. But rules are rules.
We almost heard.
I saw you guys just grieving in your spirit. So, the Boy Scouts have a motto. Do you know what that motto is?
Yes. Be prepared.
Be prepared. Be prepared. So I guess I need to get to my PowerPoints, or do you do that?
Oh, so you get share screen.
Share screen.
Then middle. Green button.
Middle top, middle bottom.
Middle bottom.
Got it. And then?
Select your power screen.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Can you see that? Can you see the, can you see that okay?
Yeah,
they're
not
good. All right. All right. So, this is the Boy Scout motto. I went online to find out about a survival kit. And you can get survival kits anywhere from $12 to $750. Okay? Depending on how surviving you want to be. But in each of the survival kits, it says you need to take your cell phone with you. Of course, there's a flashlight, and there's compass. There's something that matches. I wouldn't know how to use anything else. Take some, because it's important to have your body warm. It's good to have food with you, a way to prepare things. So there's a survival kit that we, so let me go back just a minute. We are living in a day when we need to be prepared for what's coming. Okay? We need to be prepared for what's coming. Someone, you remember as a kid, or I'm sorry, maybe as an adult, as you're driving along, your kids say, are you there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? A lot of people have been asking in regards to the end days, are we there yet? Well, we're not there yet, but we're approaching that time. And so the plague or the coronavirus that we're experiencing now is not equivalent to what we read about in Revelation. There's going to be some very difficult seasons ahead. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be truthful. That's just the way it is, because that's what Scripture says. All of Matthew chapter 24 and portions of 25 talk about how we are to be prepared for what's coming. There are signs. It's a revelation that Jesus gave to his disciples. The disciples gathered around them, and so Jesus, and they asked him a question. He said, when will the times of the end come, and when are you going to come back? And Jesus said, well, there's a lot of things that are going to take place, wars, rumors of wars, There's going to be pestilences, and this is the beginning of sorrows. But he shares something about the end times that is taking place, I believe, even now. In Matthew chapter 24, 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So all nations will hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. One of the marvelous things that's taking place in this era of coronavirus is that every church who has the ability is going online, and people all over the world are able to see what's taking place in churches. I saw where President Trump tweeted a couple of weeks ago, that he was going to watch Greg Laurie's message on the internet on Palm Sunday. Now, Greg Laurie has a large church, mm-hmm. and thousands actually are part of that as viewing online now. But after President Trump's tweet, 1.3 million people watched Greg Laurie preach the gospel.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And over 1,100 gave their lives to Jesus on that day.
Woo!
Praise the Lord. Oh, what a marvelous thing. God is on the move.
Yes.
God is on the move. So we are, the message of God, the gospel is going all over the world, and the world is beginning to hear the gospel message. This is one of the prophecies that Jesus said is going to happen, is that this would take place. Now, it took an epidemic or a pandemic for this to happen. Okay? So to the Lord be praised. To God be praised. Here's what I think. I don't think we're there yet, but I think this is a warning shot to the churches, to the believers, that the end is near, and we need to get ready for what's taking place. We need to be prepared. Every day, things are changing. And God is saying to the church, wake up.
Yes.
Wake up.
Yeah.
This is a warning shot across the bow. And we have to be ready for what's coming.
Yeah.
Every day, things are changing across the global landscape as never before. And the signs are ramping up. Now, every generation since Jesus' time has thought, it is in my generation that Jesus is going to come back.
Right.
Paul thought it was going to happen in his generation. John the Apostle, through every generation, my dad, generations before him, thought Jesus was going to return in their generation. Well, I don't know when he's going to return, but this is what I do know. He was going to return.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And the second thing I know is that it's closer to his return now than it was in the last generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is what I know. And the third thing I know is that the signs are pointing to that direction.
Yeah.
And so today's message is on how do you prepare for the end days? How do you prepare for the end times? And we're going to be talking about spiritually prepare. If you look at Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation chapter 20 and 21, So let me just share with you that when I was growing up, I was taught that Jesus was going to come back, and then there was going to be a great tribulation. Jesus would return, we would be raptured out of the chaos that's going to take place, and then there's going to be a great tribulation. Well, if you read Matthew chapter 24, it talks about there's going to be a great tribulation, and then Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about the first resurrection, And then a great tribulation, and then there's a second resurrection that's going to take place. The first resurrection, according to Revelation chapter 20, has to do with everyone who has been martyred for the name of Christ. They will participate in the first resurrection. We're going to talk about that a little later when we get into, when I talk about heaven. And the souls that's found under the altar, there's going to be souls looking up and wondering, when are they going to be resurrected? When? Anyway, I don't have time to get into all that right now, because I need to talk about being prepared for the last days. Now, I know some of you are going to disagree with me, but I believe that the church is going to have to go through the tribulation. I believe that. And I know there's scripture that you could read and look at both ways. But here's what I think. I'm hoping that Jesus comes back before, but I'm preparing that I have to go through it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's better to prepare and be prepared than it is to not prepare and be caught asleep. So I want to talk to you about five end time essentials that are necessary for your spiritual survival. Okay? Five end time essentials that are necessary for your spiritual survival. Number one, and this is first and foremost, you must know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? I think you understand that. So I have a question to ask you. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would be ushered into the kingdom of heaven? Do you know that? If you don't know that, that is one of the first things you need to know. Because if you don't have that foundation, if you don't have that security, and you go through difficult times, it's not going to be good for you. Okay? We have to have that foundation. If we haven't trusted Him as our Lord and Savior, we do not have a foundation to build the rest of our life on. Okay? So we must know that Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. The second thing we must know is how to walk in the Spirit and in the power of His might. We have to know how to walk in the Spirit and in the power of His might. I was talking to Pastor Dean this last week, and we're going to begin starting our sessions again. We had to kind of stop our sessions because of the coronavirus, but we're going to start doing it through Zoom. And so there's a couple of things we want to do. We want to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. Another thing we want to teach you is how to break every stronghold in your life. Okay? So those are the things we're going to be doing, and that's going to come up pretty quick. As soon as we get it all nailed down, I'll give you dates and where to tune in when we get those together. But we have to, if you are not filled with the Spirit, and you're not living in the Spirit, if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're not going to be able to face what's coming in your flesh. You're not going to have the power and the stamina to be able to face the devastation that's going to come upon on the universe, on the earth, if you don't have that foundation in Jesus Christ and if you're not walking in the Spirit. Does that make sense? It's so vital. You can't do it on your own. Scripture says in the last days that fear will grip the hearts of men, and they will die because of the fear in their heart. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said their sister-in-law was having nightmares now because of the pandemic. And they also said that this is now a thing, pandemic nightmares. So here's what I believe, and I'm sure it's going to be borne out. When you open your heart to fear and it consumes you, when the pandemic is over, that fear is still going to be there. Okay? But the Lord has an answer for that. There's an answer to the fears that you're having. And it's natural for us to have anxiety and fears and those kind of things. But the Lord says, you can trust me. You can trust me. You can trust me. And so if we're putting our trust in the Lord, then we don't have any need to fear. The next thing I want you to understand is, and we must break every stronghold in our lives. This is the third essential. We must break every stronghold in our lives, because what's going to happen when the difficult times come is that these strongholds that are part of us is going to cause us to do things that are ungodly, unhealthy. It's not going to help us to face these difficult seasons. So this is one of the reasons that Pastor Dean and I want to do this, because we want, this is an opportune time. People are stuck at home. They can do chores at the house, but there's really not a lot of going and doing. So what better time than to get on the media and find out, how can I break these strongholds in my life so that I can live as a champion in the kingdom of God? The next thing is that we must learn to recognize, we must learn to listen to, and follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because when troubling times come, what happens is that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us and direct us in the ways that are best for us. The scripture in Isaiah says, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. And though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes, and even strong, I'm sorry, and you will, I think I missed a portion of that. Yeah, in verse 21, and your ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. And so the Lord is saying, I want to guide you. I want to lead you. I want to show you the path that you're to go to keep you from stepping on landmines, to keep you out of danger. Another passage of Scripture. Scripture says, got some of my, sorry. First Corinthians 2, 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So basically what that passage of Scripture is saying is that the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, the Spirit of God, and he wants to teach us and show us in our spirit so that we can move at his direction. We have to have discerning hearts to know what to do and when to do it. The Lord wants to guide us. He said in John chapter 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you about the future. There it is. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Now, wouldn't it be nice to have someone tell you about what's coming? If you have a ear to the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern what to do and what's coming. One of the things that I've been doing here in the last few weeks is reading through the book of Revelation over and over and over, because I want to get very familiar with what's coming, so that when it comes, I will know the sign and I will know this is it. Okay? Because I want to prepare not only myself, but I want to prepare you as a church. That's what the Lord is asking of me today, is to prepare you as a church for what's coming. In Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. The fourth thing we must do, we must know our Father well enough to trust Him. We have to know Him well enough to trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you're familiar with this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Do you believe that? Do you have a decision to make today? Maybe you've been wondering, maybe you're in confusion, maybe you don't know what to do. Scripture says if we trust Him with all our heart, we don't lean on our own understanding, but we ask Him, seek Him about what to do about any situation, He said, I will show you which path you need to take. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful God to be able to want to show us where we should go, what path to take? But the criteria is that we have to know Him well enough to trust Him. One of the ways we do that is through His Scripture, through His Word. We know Him through His Word. Another way we know Him is through the Holy Spirit and Him guiding us. The Lord will never lead you astray.
Yes.
If you get astray, it's not because the Lord led you there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't blame it on Him.
Right.
Yeah, we've wandered off ourselves. It's on us. Mm-hmm. We have to take responsibility for that. We can't blame God. We have to take responsibility. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Here's another passage, and it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord is our eternal rock. So, do you want peace in your life? Hopefully you do. If you want peace in your life, then Scripture says that if you trust Him in every situation, that you're going to have peace in your life. Now, what would you say would be a cause for losing your peace?
Focusing on the world.
Watching the news.
Changes in your life.
Changes in your life. And see, all of those things can take our eyes off of the Lord. All of those things can cause us not to trust Him. So I would just suggest this. If you lose your peace, it very well could be because you're not trusting the Lord during a difficult season. So trust in the Lord. He is your rock. Here's some benefits to trusting the Lord. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isn't that a marvelous passage?
Mm-hmm.
If we trust in the Lord, if we trust in the Lord, if we trust in the Lord, there's a lot of benefits to trusting in the Lord. He will strengthen you in the days ahead. He will strengthen you even today when you face difficult situations. He says, if you will trust me, I'll give you the strength to go through whatever you go through. He doesn't say, I'm going to keep you from harm.
Right.
He doesn't say, I'm going to keep you from troubles. He never promises that. But he does promise to be with us. He promises to guide us. He promises to strengthen us when we go in these times of difficulty. So the last thing that we must do, and this is an essential, we must bring as many people with us as is possible. A lot of times we get a self-focus and say, man, I've got all my essentials. But what about your loved ones? What about your family members? What about those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? What about them? This is vital. We have to think about other people, and we have to think about their eternal destiny.
Yeah.
In Isaiah 43:10, it says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. And my servant whom I have chosen." So, I want you to point to yourself and say, God chose me.
God chose me.
God chose me. God chose me. Point to yourself and say, I am his witness.
I am his witness.
God chose me. This is the reason he chose you, that you may know him, that you may believe him, that you may understand that he is the great I am. Before him, there was no God formed, nor shall there be one after him. You have to know that. I would encourage you to memorize this passage of Scripture. Isaiah 43:10, you are my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? Basically, it just means to share what God has done in your life. Share what the Lord is doing in your life. Don't be silent, but share what he's doing in your life. An evangelistic conversation is this. It's sharing with a person in such a way that you move them closer to Christ than they were before the conversation. Okay? That's all it is. I am one of these guys, when I start the conversation, I want to draw the net, bring them to the kingdom, you know. But we're living in a day and age where people have to be kind of moved in that direction. And so if you will just start conversations that will help people move closer than they were before you met them, they're going to be closer than to the kingdom than they were before the conversation. So just begin the conversation. You don't have to bring them into the kingdom. If the Lord gives you the opportunity, do it. Praise the Lord. But every time you can share Christ with them and bring them a little closer, that's a seed that the Lord is beginning to work in their lives and cause them to begin to focus on him. And I think during this time, there probably are people who would maybe need that conversation. And be more open to it than they were 2 months ago. Okay? This is an opportune time. It's a wonderful time. It is an exciting time.
Amen.
To live. Because God is on the move and we can see his hand at work. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. I'm excited for the next years to come and see what God is going to do and what he is doing.
Right.
So, are you ready for what's to come? Do you have the essentials? Do you have any of these essentials? And of these five essentials, what do you think are your strongest that you have, and what do you need to work on? Because this is, we're talking about survival, spiritual survival. Matthew, listen, in Matthew 24, this is what the Lord says. Many will turn away from me and begin to betray and hate each other. This is Matthew 24, 10 through 13. Many false prophets will appear, will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Do you see that? Sin will be rampant everywhere, not just isolated places. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. I don't want you to be one who turns away. I don't want you to be one whose love grows cold. I want you to make sure of these survival essentials. Now, some people who believe that Jesus will return and then the tribulation occurs, believe Matthew 24 and 25 is for the Israelites because the church will be taken out. Okay, that's their theology. That's what they think. I hope they're right.
Yeah, I know.
I hope they're right. But what if they're not? There are some marvelous preachers that can articulate, can preach. I mean, and God has given them wisdom. And John MacArthur, Max Lucado, Charles Stanley, a bunch of them. But did you know that not all of them agree on this subject? Not all of them agree. Because it's a mystery. And God hasn't revealed the mystery yet. But I'm just sharing with you what I see in Scripture. Others see different things, which, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, or I'm just telling you what I see. And what I feel like the Lord is telling you is to be prepared. And this is what I know. Whether Jesus comes back before the tribulation or you have to go through it, you need to have the same preparation. So we can get into a discussion about when he's coming, and but so what? Oh, I knew, I told you so. What good is that? It doesn't do anything. But what the Lord is saying, regardless of when I come, you need to be prepared.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you prepared? Are you preparing? If you're not prepared, then please, please, please make the steps necessary to prepare. Amen. Through this coronavirus, people were preparing with toilet paper. Okay? And they were preparing with a lot of other things. You couldn't find things on the shelves. You go after them. Cynthia and I were in Safeway a couple of weeks ago. I may have shared this with you. But look down the aisle where the paper products were, and there was nothing. So when I got to the checkout stand, the cashier said, well, somebody hijacked our truck that was filled with toilet paper. Are you serious? Are you serious? And that's what she said. How crazy. How crazy. Listen, to prepare for what's coming, you better have more than toilet paper. You better have your heart right. If you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is the number one thing that you need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. And I would encourage you today to give your heart to Him. Because things are going to come down and you're going to need Him in your life. There are things going on right now. And those who are strong Christians are just taking it in stride. They're just taking it in stride because they're trusting the Lord in the midst of it. And I encourage you, if you do not know Christ, stop right now. Give your heart to Him. Repent of your sins and ask Him to lead you and guide you in the path that you should take. I want to pray for you. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I know this message was from you. And I know that we have to prepare for what's coming, whether it's you descending and rapturing the church out of this mess, or whether we're to prepare for the end time and get through the tribulation. Lord, however that is, Lord, we just, you know, we leave it in your hands. But Lord, what you've told us to do is prepare. And so Lord, as we come before you, I ask that you would work in each of our hearts and lives. And Lord, that we would be stronger next week than we are this week. That there would be things that we would take out of our lives and just take them off us so that we can be strong and healthy spiritually. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, who don't know that if they died today, would they go to heaven? Lord, you're the only hope. And so, Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to them, that you would draw them to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any questions about today's message or about how to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I'm going to ask you just to write an email, send it to me, give me a phone call. I'll be more than happy to visit with you. But I probably won't argue over when Jesus is coming.